Good morning, Pastor Brown. It's great to be here. Good to see the same faces. It's nice. Church in Westminster is a big part of our prayers in Zimbabwe and a big part of our ministry and our thoughts. So thank you for your prayers and support. I was thinking today about communion. What is underneath our communion is relationship. That's why communion is only for Christians. It's only for people that already have a relationship with God. You can't have communion with a stranger. You can have fellowship with a stranger. You can't have communion. You have to be in the relationship. And we as Christians are in the relationship. Now, what is the most important thing to remember about our relationship with God, whether I'm 2 or 10 or 50, is that this relationship is on the basis of choice. Now, the world would have you believe that it's your choice. But John 15:16 is a great verse in the Bible. In the middle of his prophecy about the Holy Spirit, Jesus says this: "It is not that you have chosen me, but I have chosen you." That is the basis of our relationship with God as a person, as a child, as an adult, is that God has chosen me. And I want to make 3 quick statements about that as we think about our message this morning. The first one is that the relationship that we have with God is because God chooses. God chose me. God chooses. And you can look at Luke chapter 15 and the story of the prodigal son, and you see this relationship between the father and the son. And you will notice that the father makes the choice. Regardless of the son's choices, the father's choice is more important than the son's choice. And even when the son makes the wrong choices, the father doesn't dwell on the son's choices. The father dwells on his choice. God has chosen you. He's chosen you. You were in his mind in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Before there was an earth, before there was a planet, you were in his mind. He knew you. Psalm 51, David talks about God knew him. Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16 about how God knew him in the womb. Jeremiah talks about it in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 8 about God knowing him before he even knew life. God chose you before you could make a choice. Before you could make wrong choices, God chose you. And number 2, he chose you knowing you would make wrong choices and still chose you. I wonder if we would choose our families if we knew choices our family would make against us. But God knew every choice you would make, positive and negative, and chose you anyway. So number 1, God had a choice. And even though our choices don't always agree with God, God's choice is the most important choice. God chose you. The reason why we can have communion with God is because God chose you. God chose you. Even when you don't choose to choose God, God is still choosing you. God not only chose you, he continues to choose you. When you agree with God, he chooses you. When you don't agree with God, he chooses you. God chose you. And that's important. God chose you. Being a Christian just means that I have responded to God's choice with my own choice. But God chose you. God chose you. And because he chooses you, in 1 Peter 1:5, he is able to keep you. Because God keeps what he chooses. He keeps what he chooses. So if my security is not based upon my choices, my security is based upon God's choices. So when I'm by myself and I'm alone and people are not around with me, I'm protected because I'm the choice of God. I have God's mark in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 on my life. The devil sees that mark. God sees that mark. I have the mark of God on my life. I have the hand of God on my life. And that's why I'm kept by God. And that's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the wicked one cannot touch me because I'm chosen by God. I'm God's choice. Communion is because I'm God's choice. Number 2, second statement, God remembers. He doesn't forget his choice. God remembers me. I'm his choice. God does not forget what he chooses. Just like the prodigal son's father never forgot his son, even though his son made the wrong choices and wasted his life. You're going to make bad choices, even as a young person. You're going to make bad choices. All the choices you make are not going to be good. God still remembers you. God chooses you, and he remembers what he chooses. He doesn't forget. He's not a man that he can forget. In Numbers 23:19, God remembers. When you forget God, in 2 Timothy 2:13, God doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget you. He remembers you. He remembers you. He mentioned in Jeremiah 31, verses 3 and 4, God didn't forget Israel, even when Israel forgot God. God remembers you. Or in Romans chapter 11, when Israel is not honoring God, in fact, they're wayward towards God, God says in Romans chapter 11, I don't forget you. I'll finish my work quickly, he says in Romans 11. I have not forgotten you, Israel. I have not forgotten you. In Romans 11, 9, verse 6, all of Israel are not of Israel, but Israel, I haven't forgotten you. God does not forget you. People will forget you. And sadly, you will forget people. But God will never forget you. He remembers you. He remembers you. So much time in our life we spend thinking that because God is quiet, he's forgotten us. Just because God is quiet does not mean God has forgotten you. There will be many times in your life when God is quiet. He's not moving. It seems like he's not giving you what you need and not doing what you want. And even when God doesn't seem like he's giving you what you need and doing what you want, God still remembers you. He's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. God remembers you. He remembers you. The strength of our relationship is that God remembers us. When we forget God, he doesn't forget us. God shows us. God remembers us. And then number three, God restores us. When we drift far away, we're still the choice of God. When we drift far away, we're still remembered by God. And when we drift far away, God brings us back. Brings us back. Even Israel, when Israel wanders far away, God restores Israel. That's what the millennial reign is all about. It is the restoration of God's people. It is God honoring his covenant to Israel. God restores. The wonderful ministry of the restoration of God. Remember when you were little, or if you're still little, and when you've done something wrong, how it feels when you realize that your mom and dad forgive you? When you realize that everything is okay, they're no longer mad at you, or it's okay that you can continue with life, there's no more guilt, there's no more accusation, there's no more condemning. You can actually keep living. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? There's nothing like being forgiven, huh? I would say the strength of love is forgiveness. There's nothing like it. When you know you're wrong and that person who you've wronged forgives you, the weight off your shoulders, you feel clean on the inside. You feel sure. You feel established. You actually have a new identity. You feel brand new because you've been restored. God restores us. In our communion, God chooses us. We celebrate communion because we celebrate with the choice of God. We celebrate communion because, remember, God remembers us. And we celebrate communion because on the cross, God restored us. He restored us. He brought us back. Like in Micah chapter 7, we couldn't bring ourselves back. But who is a God like unto you? He brings us back. God brings me back. When I can't bring myself back, when I don't want to come back, he's the Father on the hill who waits for me every day, who's prepared a fatted calf for me. He's the Father on the hill who doesn't condemn me. He doesn't talk negative about me. Even when I'm wrong, he doesn't speak my wrong. When I'm wrong, God doesn't speak my wrong. He speaks his right. He shows the blood. And for us today, as young people, we have a God who chose us. We have a God who remembers us. And we have a God who restores us. And that's our communion. Amen?